Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
What is wrong with this company? The WWE is a billion-dollar effing company, and you're giving the fans the same segment you gave them last week. You have all this talent. Bayley and Sasha are doing an open form here, just like last week with Alexa Bliss. You have the in-ring talent. Just shorten promo segments. Here's an idea. Be a freaking wrestling company. When you changed from World Wrestling Federation to World Wrestling Entertainment, you kept a word that is what your company is about, wrestling. I would have much rather seen a 15-minute match with Banks and Bayley than 10 minutes of a crap promo segment that you did last week and a 6-minute rushed match. The fans deserve so much better. But no, we're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler, which should be a good match and should have people's emotions behind it. But you didn't build it well enough and blow it off at TLC. Or you have their first match at TLC. Damn it with the guy with the clicker who's never watched the product before. Stop making him more important than the hardcores who grind it out week to week. Here's an idea. Put some thought and some detail into finding the next Steve Austin, the next Rock, the next person that is going to make wrestling cool to everyone again. Wrestling is in a boom period right now, and the biggest company in the world is the most frustrating company in the world. Hi, Mike.
You know, I'm going to cash out, and I'll see you next week. That was a great show. Excellent job. That was awesome, Jimmy. How are you?
I guess because I'm angry, it means I care.
I agree. That was a hot take, and you know what? I'm on the same page with you, Jimmy. It is embarrassing. You're 100% right. It's same crap week in, week out. And, you know, here's another thing too for you, Jimmy. It just seems like every fall, okay, every autumn, they cash out. They don't really care so much about the fan. And that is a great opportunity to grab the fan and ride off from the momentum what you have built up from SummerSlam. Because, as you know, football season, okay? And that's a hard thing to do to keep the fans intact there. And I know there was a big battle over the years where Raw finally took down Monday Night Football some 20 years ago. And it didn't really matter so much here and there. But I think this is a great chance to do it. And they just seem like they've thrown in the towel completely.
I don't think they have cashed out, Mike. I think there are a lot of people who are writing this show and they say, you know what? Damn it, this is good stuff. Let's do more. Let's do some potty humor. Let's do more inside jokes. But that's the problem, Mike. That is the biggest problem, is that when it hits Vince McMahon's desk, he's like, yeah, let's do it, brother. That was Hulk, but.
Well, there's also the other thing, too. There's too much time to fill. I think there's, you know, the 3 hours, and we'll talk about that at some point, too. But it's just way too much to go, so cut it down, because you know the old saying, Jimmy, less is more sometimes, and it works better that way.
So then, why was the Attitude Era Monday Night Raw, 2 hours plus 2 hours of SmackDown, and then 3 hours for pay-per-view, and there were some times where Sunday Night Heat was live before the show or on its own, and they didn't have any issues then. It was good, compelling. It was interesting stuff, generally speaking. I mean, they gave birth to a hand, which everybody remembers. Triple H banged a corpse.
We all remember.
So, I mean, that's some of the bad stuff. But you know, you had Austin. You had The Rock. You had Triple H up and coming. You had Mankind in his different variations. You had the Nation of Domination. You had just interesting stories. You had the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah. Well, the Triple H bang on the corpse one, I consider that more Ruthless Aggression era. I think that was 02 or 03. That was just right after the Attitude Era. It was still borderline. It was bad. Was right there, but you're right. So much stuff. The Stalker, the Undertaker Stalker. You had the
You had the Undertaker. You had the Undertaker.
corporate ministry. You had, the Stone Cold with the Zamboni, and then the bear.
Yeah, you had
too.
Vince and Steve Austin.
It was awesome.
And even Best on the Rebel. Other channel, you had exciting cruiserweight matches. Dean Malenko, right. Chris Benoit, well, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho. And then you had Hogan and Savage and Piper for the star power in different roles.
Two things to touch on that. And to your point with what is the issue. The Attitude Era, you got to remember, all the star power, not that there's no star power here right now, but they figured it out. And, you did have competition to a point with the WCW. You had competition, so you knew you had to outdo the other one there. But also, it's a different time now. 20 years ago, you were able to swear. You were able to show blood. You were able to do a lot more sex appeal stuff.
You can still do that, Choi. You can still do that stuff. WWE is choosing not to.
Well,
You can't have Triple H in the middle of the ring using the R word to describe Kane.
You can't have the New Age Outlaws come out to say, "Oh, you didn't know." Well, you're
better call somebody.
Yeah, that's what I didn't say. So they say you better call somebody.
But they could say that. They choose not to.
I think they're worried about the stockholders there pulling out. So I think it all comes down to that, there being a publicly traded company where they want to become this family-friendly, a kid-friendly thing, which, essentially it is, but it is really turned down big time from where we once were, and the best part for the Attitude Era. Two big parts right there.
And you also had great tag teams. You had the Hardys. You had Edge and Christian. You had the Dudleys. Yeah. Too Cool, Rikishi. Mm-hmm. Rikishi shaking that thong on TV. That was over. People bought into it. People enjoyed that.
Awesome. It was perfect.
And I'm not saying that the Attitude Era was perfect in the same way that I'm not saying that Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake against Zeus and Randy Savage was perfect. But it was good stuff. It was better than a lot of the stuff that I see week to week now.
And Jimmy, you mentioned this a few weeks ago too, and I was talking to you before the start of the show tonight. We're recording, but I just have the sense that the brand split might be on the way out. And I know you mentioned because of the Fox situation when SmackDown moves there less than a year from now, which is I'm very excited about. It just seems like there's too many champions. There is so much talent. We know that. I understand why they did the brand split. I get it. But I just see it kind of being on the way out. I don't really... I could totally see it.
Well, the brand split going bye-bye is a mistake, and here's why. Okay. Because you can't showcase all of the talent on both shows. You need that separation to have more stars.
But
between the three shows that they have, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, you have arguably the greatest roster of talent that Vince McMahon has ever had under contract, and you can't put everybody on every show. You can't do it.
However, let's not, what always happens after WrestleMania, what typically happens?
They do the superstar shakeup.
Well, not just that, but also behind the scenes, what happens? Typically, there's cuts, okay? And I'm not saying they're going to clear the whole roster.
Oh, they usually do that around June.
Okay, well, it's after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
I'm just giving you a date. Don't be so defensive.
Listen, Mike,
I'm not yelling at you in this case.
I know. I understand.
You just happen to be on the other side of the headset.
It's all good. I just think post-WrestleMania, where I could totally see it happening in that scenario there, yeah, they're not going to clear house with the payroll and make it, 10 guys in your roster. But there's a great chance to do that, to say sayonara to a lot of people who just are not getting the time that they should be getting and so forth. And then you have that one unification there when the brand split may be over. I wouldn't be shocked if it does happen by the summer.
Well, if they eliminate the brand split, it's 100% a mistake.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Because if that's the case, then release half your roster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And maybe there's some stuff.
But there's no reason. Like, they're getting $2 billion from two TV companies over the course of the next 5 years. There's no reason for roster cuts.
And figure out a way to make your product better. Otherwise, you're going to have to do something.
I'm really frustrated.
Ross sucks. Boom.
I try not to do that. I try not to dump on the product unless
it's
necessary.
It's bad right now. It's like I make an
effort. Last week, Mike, the ratings were the lowest they've been in a long time.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. You have a chance to capitalize during football season, and you're throwing it down the toilet. And I'm telling you, Jimmy, I've said it numerous times, and I'll say it again. I really look forward to Tuesday nights. SmackDown is awesome. It's a much better show. You know, much better talent on there, I think. Well, for the most part, and just better storylines, and it's a better show. 2 hours, that's all you need.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. So that wasn't originally the opener of the show, but I watched Raw. I saw what they did to Sasha Banks and Bayley, and it angered me. It really angered me. And then the Drew Dolph thing, oh, let's just throw him out there. Let's just do that. You have so much talent on this roster, and the best thing that you can do is a fan forum that you did last week. Yeah. Like you can just do so much better. And you know, it just bothers me that you're repeating stuff. You have all right. this talent. You have all these creative minds, supposedly, and you're just recycling stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of people we know that recycle things. And, you know, there's other things, too, I think, in general, where, you know, Jimmy, when you have a nice, say you go out to a nice steakhouse, okay, you and Mrs. Stewart, and you go out there and you feel guilty when you don't finish everything and it's like, oh, I got to send it away. You know, I think the good heart in you would be like, wouldn't there be nice to give to a homeless person or something like that? Like what Mookie Betts did after the World Series game one or two to the Dodgers or the ALCS game there against the Astros. It's something like this here. You're throwing it away. You're not giving it another chance to give to something that would benefit you and the product and so forth. And that's exactly what's happening here at Monday Night Raw. It's pathetic.
So I scoured the dirt sheets, and boy, did I scour dirt sheets this week.
Let's hear it.
There's like no news out there. there's nothing. WWE issues. So this was the big news story of the week for me. WWE issued a statement on Saturday confirming that NXT TakeOver New York will now be held on Friday, April 5th, and the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony will take place on Saturday, April 6th. Quote from the statement, quote, WWE will be going back to its previous WrestleMania weekend schedule with NXT TakeOver on Friday and the WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Saturday. We believe this better serves our fans, unquote. Mike, how does this affect your weekend?
Okay, well, let me just rewind time here to this past April, and where you, myself, the Wong father, Andy Wong, and Jeopardy Joe Murray all took in WrestleMania together. Selfishly enough, I wish that were the case last April, because on Saturday night, which I still have no regrets about, it was a great show, the Ring of Honor show outside of New Orleans, we saw that. But also at the same time, NXT was going on, and we had a chance to potentially go to NXT, but we chose Ring of Honor, which, again, no regrets on that. I think this is a much better setup here for a true wrestling fan. You have a chance to go to NXT on Friday. You can see Ring of Honor on Saturday, so potentially personally affecting me, that would be cool. I could be in Brooklyn to watch the NXT on Friday, and then I could go to Madison Square Garden for the Ring of Honor show on Saturday, and then, of course, somehow get to New Jersey for WrestleMania on Sunday. That's how it could personally affect me should I go that route. I like it better. I think it's better for the fan altogether, and I think it's a good move.
So this is a really interesting, and I think it's a bigger deal than is being really portrayed, that WWE is, quote, giving up Saturday to New Japan and Ring of Honor. And I have a theory on this.
Okay.
And I didn't check it. I didn't ask it because I didn't want people to shoot down my theory. They have to have a massive Hall of Famer if they're going to change it to Saturday night. And my theory is The Rock is going into the WWE Hall of Fame in Brooklyn. and they have him for 48 hours. They have him for the Hall of Fame and a match. And that's really the only reason why they change it, I think. I don't see WWE giving up a night to another wrestling company.
Right.
And look, if they're doing the Hall of Fame and it's Triple H or it's Vince or Undertaker, they could keep it Friday night. But because it's The Rock and it's time sensitive, I'm just guessing. And again, I didn't ask around because I like this theory. I didn't want anybody to shoot it down. But if you think about it from an economical standpoint, you have to, New York has all these union laws, right?
Right.
So Friday night, you build the set for the show, for the NXT wrestling show. Wrestling. Right. It's a wrestling company. Remember that. Then you have to tear it down and you have to build up the Hall of Fame ceremony set. Brooklyn Barclays Center, same building. So now, Sunday, while WrestleMania is going on, you have to have a crew rebuild the wrestling arena because your shows are there Monday and Tuesday with Raw and SmackDown. So this isn't exactly a cheap thing from a business point of view that they're doing. So to me, it reads that they have The Rock, they're putting The Rock in the Hall of Fame, and this is why they have to do it, is because they have The Rock for 48 hours.
I think that's a great, great point. And, you know, The Rock's not an easy guy to lock down in a situation like that. It's also New York, and security for him and just being around the city and so forth. And he's a larger-than-life figure now, more or less. He really is. And I'm trying to think here. His first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 13. So
So you're thinking that his first show was Survivor Series 1996,
right?
And that was at Madison Square Garden,
right? I wasn't thinking about that, but I was going to think about it 22 years after his first WrestleMania appearance. They could touch on that too. But yes, you are right. MSG was the first pay per view for The Rock, right? Or was that his first ever show?
MSG was for his first WWE show.
So he debuted there, okay.
Yes, he debuted on the main roster on television at that Survivor Series as Rocky Maivia.
That's right.
And boy, could that kid smile. That's Blue Chipper right there, Vince. That's Blue Chipper. That's going to be the man one day, Vince.
Fun fact for you, I just bought a Rocky Maivia action figure at the Rhode Island Comic Con. And I do plan to have The Rock sign it for me someday, so get ready for that. Unopened, too, by the way, yes.
Well, if you meet The Rock, that's good on you.
Oh, it's only... I met The Rock 20 years ago, too, so looking forward to meeting him again. Very excited.
I met The Rock at the old WAAF studio.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Hey, don't feed the dogs in this one, Jimmy.
Uh-huh. But,
but anyways, I like that theory. I would definitely jump on that. And I cannot argue that at all. I'm with you there.
Coming up next, really what is the featured part of this week's show, at least that's what we tweezed on social media, it is the holiday season, and we're going to give Vince McMahon gifts.
This is Eddie Edwards, the former Ring of Honor world champion, former TNA world champion, and the former GHC world heavyweight champion, and you are listening to Inside the Ropes with Jay Stu and Sarge, where anything is possible. Go Celtics!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the holiday season, and more so the season of giving. So, Mike, I'd like to offer the WWE and Vince McMahon a few gifts this season.
Well, he's given so much to you over the years.
He actually really has. I mean, you think about it. Like, Vince McMahon has given me 30 years of entertainment. The least I can do on top of the money that I give him is give him a gift and give him some suggestions free of charge.
He is our, I guess, modern-day childhood Walt Disney hero.
He's the person that I would love if I could ever get him on the podcast under sodium pentothal Just give me 10 minutes, and we'll have all our answers.
It's funny you said that because, you know, full disclosure, but not anymore because it's out here. So Jimmy and I had to fill out a survey for this podcast, and I saw that was the answer. If you could have one person as a guest, you put Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I put The Rock, but the more I thought about yours after that, I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. Why didn't I put Vince? But that would be a dynamite one. One guy, it's like a touch of the sun.
Yep. So the first gift that I would like to offer Vincent Kennedy McMahon is the gift of a new voice for WWE. Mm-hmm. And this voice is already under WWE contract.
Okay.
It's Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, thank God, yes.
Mauro did the Showtime boxing event this past weekend, but my idea is you put Mauro and Corey Graves together. That's your two-person broadcast booth for Monday Night Raw. And then you have Mauro and Renee Young on SmackDown. And if you want to flip SmackDown and Raw with Renee and Corey, that's fine. You can figure that out. Michael Cole has been an excellent broadcaster, and he does what Vince and his staff wants. But what WWE needs right now is more energy behind their play-by-play voice, behind their storytellers, if you will. If Joey Styles were still interested in wrestling, I would suggest Mauro for one show and Joey Styles for the other. For those who don't know Joey Styles, he was the voice of Extreme Championship Wrestling in the 90s. You can go to the WWE Network and watch ECW Barely Legal. That is his best work within the ECW brand. He's one man. He did an entire pay-per-view by himself. Nobody did it before him. Nobody's done it since him.
That's quite a skill. That is really an amazing skill.
He was fabulous. And if you're looking for a WWE match that he called, that was his best work. You want to go to Taboo Tuesday of 2005. It was Ric Flair versus Triple H inside a steel cage match.
Right.
I don't know if that was a match of the year candidate then, but that's Joey's best call, bell to bell, of anything he did in WWE. When Edge cashed in his Money in the Bank, Joey's voice was all over that. An underrated reason why the Attitude Era was so successful was the passion of Jim Ross, the broadcaster. He's a lifelong fan. He's enthusiastic. And you know, this is a not talked about point, especially in our industry, radio, is the broadcasters are the main salesperson for any product. And the voice of WWE needs more enthusiasm. It needs more, like, you and I are fans. We've been blessed. We've been able to interact with certain stars in wrestling and people in wrestling. But Jim Ross was a fan. Mauro's a fan. Joey Styles is a fan. And their enthusiasm comes through. Michael Cole is probably a fan, but he's too conditioned to be a broadcaster. And his passion and enthusiasm, it hasn't really shined through the television screen to me. And the same goes for Tom Phillips. You know, very good. He's in the middle. He transitions well. He gets in the social media mentions, all that stuff. But he just doesn't sound like he's a fan. He sounds like he's a robot.
Yeah, he's very cookie cutter.
You know, I mean, tell me Michael Cole's greatest call.
I can't think of it. I can tell you Jim Ross's. I can tell you about five or six Jim Ross's great ones.
And that's my point. So I had to. I did some research on this, right? Because the only one that I came up with was vintage. You know, that's vintage Randy Orton.
Okay.
I have an email from the anonymous Raw general manager.
That was cool. That was pretty funny, actually.
And then I had to, you know, those were the two that kind of came to mind.
Yep.
And then I kind of searched out through a few different places for follow-ups. Remember when the Big Show debuted and he screamed, "That's Paul White"? Exactly. Nobody else does.
Yeah.
So when Mick Foley won the title, do you remember what his call was?
I thought it was JR.
Nope. JR was out with Bell's palsy.
Oh, okay.
But JR was on the headset feeding this to Michael Cole, allegedly.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy?
Nope. Mankind did it. Mick Foley did it. Mankind has achieved his dream and the dream of everyone else who's been told you can't do it. And I remember King screaming in the background saying, Yeah, you can't do it.
Oh, yeah, I, you know what? There's nothing with Cole. And again, he's
Mike,
a very,
what,
he is.
When Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, what was Michael Cole's call?
I think it was nothing. It was speechless.
The streak is over.
That's so boring.
And then it was just silence. Which, by the way, the silence was the right call.
No, that's true. The streak is over, but that's something you see on the headline, the front page of the Boston Globe. The streak is over. You're a journalist, damn it. Give me more. Give me more passion as a fan. Jimmy, with Jim Ross, okay? He was the guy, you remember everything he used to say. The number one for me was Hell in the Cell, 98, okay? Remember when Mankind was thrown off the cage, right onto the announce table? Good God almighty, that killed him! You know? You remember that. Mm-hmm. You can probably say that in your sleep.
It's the greatest sports call in the history.
That's aggressive, but it's up there.
It's a wrestling podcast.
That's the number one. I remember that, you know, even when Stone Cold beat Shawn Michaels for the first time, WrestleMania 14, he just, the passion, Stunner, Austin champion, you know, boom, it was great.
It was that, Stone Cold.
Yes!
The Austin era has begun.
Yes. And that was awesome. And the passion, it was, he had it right there. I'm trying to think, what, give me another good one with JR.
Slobberknocker.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. He had catchy phrases.
Good God almighty, you know? They've broken him in half.
Yeah, all that stuff.
He's stomping him like a government mule.
And you know what? To even to go back a little further in guys, like even Gorilla Monsoon, you know, he would say, even to Bobby Heenan, he'd have those catchy phrases. Will you stop? You know, please, all that stuff.
But my point is that they need voices who have more passion and more enthusiasm.
Right, and those guys were funny, and Cole is just so cut and dry.
So
and
just to wrap up the Michael Cole.
Phillips is too white bread.
I think they're both Syracuse guys, actually. So it's funny that you would say that. So the internet says that Michael Cole's greatest call is when Seth Rollins cashed in Money in the Bank. Do you remember that call?
No.
He screamed Seth Rollins multiple times.
Yeah.
And he said, Seth Rollins with the heist of the century.
Yeah.
And JBL yelling in the background, this is brilliant what Seth Rollins just did. We know, yeah. JBL. We know.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah.
Keep bullying other people.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
All right. So, Mark Renault, I love that.
You've heard my gift to Vince McMahon.
I love that.
What's your gift to Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
Well, like I said, during the beginning of this podcast here tonight, I think that the number one thing that he really has to do is cut down Monday Night Raw by 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Get it down to 2 hours. The 3 hours, way too long. And just to jump on what I was saying before, it just seems like that there's so much stuff that they feel like they have to do. And which you obviously have to fill that full hour there, but the full hour you got to fill, it's not good. It's not a good product. It's repetitive. I think that's a major problem why there's so much repetition. It's forced. And, you know, I actually looked forward to every once in a while. If you remember, Jimmy, actually, it was about 8 years ago, November of 2011, excuse me, where there was a Monday Night Raw here in Boston, and it was a special three-hour show because The Rock was on. It was like right before the Survivor Series, and it just was really a big buildup. A three-hour show should be billed as one night only 3 hours, not every Monday night. It's way too long. And to parlay that, I'd also cut down your pay-per-view time too. Strictly make that 3 hours. We've talked about it here before. WrestleMania this year, what, 6 hours long, right?
Yep.
Okay. Cut it down. Get it back to maybe WrestleMania. If you want to do 4 hours, fine. That's it. But everything else, 3 hours in the pay-per-view.
Well, Mike, here's the thing is we all sat together in New Orleans. How many times did I get up and just go for a walk?
I'd say about 4 or 5.
Yeah, because I can't sit there for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So I'd go to the bathroom. I'd get something to eat. I'd take my time. I'd check out the venue.
Right.
I did that in Dallas. Orlando, I was just wandering anyway.
Yeah.
And then in New Orleans last year, I'd be like, okay, the U.S. title, this match will probably have about 10 minutes. So everybody's in the ring. They'll do their opening sequence. Then they'll break off into a one. I'll go get shrimp. I'll go get French fries. I'll go get a beverage.
Something, yeah.
And then I come back and Jinder wins the U.S. title, which was awesome. Good for you, Jinder.
Yeah, well.
But you have to pace yourself at WrestleMania.
Well, it just goes back to my point here that.
Do you remember the mass evacuation in Orlando as soon as Triple H and Seth Rollins locked up?
Jimmy, it took me like 30 minutes. I'm not joking. Just to get a beer at the concession stand. It was crazy. But, you know, it just goes back to my point. Less is more. That's all you got to do. And they're doing way too much. Raw from 3 to 2, pay-per-views, cut them back. That's it.
So I have two more gifts for Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Oh, so that was just a stocking stuffer.
No.
With Mauro Ranallo.
Santa in the Stewart house is very giving.
Oh, Santa Stew.
Santa Stew, very giving. The second gift I would like to offer is a gift that, sadly, is going to take a generation or so to accomplish. Okay. Competition.
Yep.
Vince and the WWF did their best work in the 80s with Hulk Hogan and competing and beating the AWA, World Class Championship Wrestling, the NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions. In the late 90s, when WCW took the lead in the Monday Night Wars, Vince opened up his creative envelope well because he had to or he was going out of business. He let his superstars be himself and the volume turned up. And his top stars had more athletic backgrounds. Steve Austin was a football player. The Rock was a football player. Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist. Undertaker was a college basketball, played college basketball at a high level. Triple H always wanted to be a combination of Ric Flair and Harley Race. They had top guys who had drive for that top spot. And now I feel like many superstars are just kind of content with being on the card, or they're just tired of trying to push for upper movement and they've just kind of given up. They're going along to get along is the cliche.
Yeah.
So the question is, who can compete with WWE? The answer ultimately is no one. Because WWE is in the process of taking over the world. In 5 years, maybe a group led by Cody and the Young Bucks will have the pieces in place to be a strong number two. I'd like to think that Ring of Honor and New Japan and Impact will still be around, but I'm not sure. It takes a generation, maybe two, to put even the smallest cracks in WWE. I think people forget that WCW did beat WWF with their own stars, just in different roles. Again, generational. Also, WCW had a generation or so behind them with Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA. They had been around for a long time. But Vince had, but in the same way WCW beat WWF with their own stars in different roles. It's something I've mentioned a lot in the past. In the same way that WWE in the 80s beat everybody else with their own stars. Vince had Andre, and then he cherry-picked Hulk Hogan from the AWA. He took Piper and Steamboat from Jim Crockett Promotions. He took Savage from Memphis and Florida. He took Jake Roberts from the Mid-South Promotion, and so on and so on and so on. I mean, if you really want to dig deep into it, if Southwest Championship Wrestling decides to pay their bills on time, USA Network doesn't kick them off and open the door for Vince McMahon to get on National Network weekly programming. And maybe everything is different.
Right.
And Tully Blanchard becomes Hulk Hogan and not a member of the Four Horsemen and so on and so on and so on. So what Vince needs, he needs competition.
Yeah, and that goes back to your opening statement here when we're talking about the Attitude Era stuff. And that was one of my main points. So yes, competition is good, and competition can be healthy for pretty much everyone all the time. Yeah, I know it's like, okay, well, we got to outdo them, but it's better for the fans and better for the product overall. Competition is a good thing.
Mike, do you have a second gift? It's okay if you say no.
You know what? I really didn't up until I was thinking more about it, but here's something else for you, too, to think of. So here's my second gift, and I'm going to jump off the as we put it out on Twitter on WrestleCast95 with people talking about this. And this one,
by the way, feel free to steal one of the tweets as your second gift.
Okay, I will. I'll read word for word. This is from John. Okay, John put out
here. Were you really about to steal somebody's thought without giving them credit?
No.
That is such a sneaky, dirty radio move. I love it.
He and I had the thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate that. He and I had the same idea.
617, your idea is stupid, but I'm going to use it.
So he and I both had the same idea with Vince just taking 2019 off altogether and worry about the XFL. Because this week we're going to find out, well, we kind of already do know which cities the XFL will be at in 2020. Focus on that and give the keys to Triple H and Shane for that matter too, but mainly Triple H, Stephanie, and Shane, all those guys. Let them, because that's the next generation. Those are the guys that are going to be taking over the WWE when, heaven forbid, that day does come with Vince McMahon. But
I'll never die, damn it.
I hope he never does. I hope he never does either.
But I'll live forever.
But I just think it would be so much more beneficial for the talent with Triple H running the show altogether, because he was one of the guys. He knows how it is. We see what he's done with NXT, the product there. It may be able to make Monday Night Raw more watchable and more enjoyable like that. So take a year off, Vince. Number two.
So my third gift is WWE needs a Dusty Rhodes. And not Dusty Rhodes the wrestler, but Dusty Rhodes the teacher. Dusty Rhodes is arguably the greatest promo in wrestling history. But what he could do is he could also teach how to do a promo. And he taught Bayley how to do a promo better. He taught Sasha Banks how to be the boss. And maybe it's not so much that they need that teacher, then they need to kind of know what their talent can and can't do. And they have Paul Heyman in the building, but I don't think they utilize him as well as they could.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman, when he ran ECW, was so good at this person can do this well, we're going to highlight this. This person can do this well, we're going to highlight this. This person doesn't do promos well, so we're not going to feature them in promos. We talked last week about Nia Jax and how she should never cut a promo again and how she didn't need to cut a promo. She just needed to go out there and bloody somebody else's nose up and keep reminding people that she concussed Becky Lynch, which really happened. I believe it was on purpose. You just keep putting over the fact that she's got a dangerous right hand or a dangerous left hand or whatever it is. She doesn't need to cut promos. Like, know your characters and know your audience. I'll give you another example of knowing your audience. Do you remember the night after WrestleMania in Orlando after Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker?
Yeah, he got booed right away. Couldn't even hear.
I went back. I watched it. 10 minutes, Roman Reigns stood in the ring. Didn't say a word. He moved the microphone to his mouth like he was going to talk, and then he moved it away when the crowd reacted.
Yeah.
At the end of it, all he said was, "This is my yard now."
Yep.
He dropped the mic and walked out. Mm-hmm. He even at one point did the hand motion as if to say, "I'm Roman Reigns. I have the crowd in the palm of my hand."
Yep.
That's an indication of knowing your audience and knowing what to do in that moment. And whether that was scripted for him or whether Roman Reigns called it in the ring, it was the right move. And you need to listen to your audience. Another example on the more positive side is Hulk Hogan the night after he has his match with The Rock at WrestleMania 18. That Montreal crowd gave him an ovation for 15, 20 minutes. He just stood in the ring. They all let it happen, and they went from there.
Yep.
But know your audience. Know what your characters can do well and what they can't do well, and highlight that. And that goes to the writers. That goes to Vince. Don't put a wig on Goldberg.
No.
Don't do that stuff.
No.
Know that Goldberg's a killer, and he runs through people in the ring. That's what he does well. That's why this last run was more successful than his year in the WWE the first time.
Yeah.
I'm running out of breath. I've been yelling a lot. I'm sorry.
I like it. I like it. I think that's good. And hopefully, somehow, Santa is able to deliver this to Greenwich, Connecticut on December 25th for Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Mike, do you have a closing thought, or do you want to steal somebody else's tweet?
You know what? Those are my top two gifts. And, you know, I just want to say this, Jimmy.
Since I think I wore myself out. I think I punched myself out.
Well, that's quite all right. But I will say this, though. Since we
are. Oh, look, Nia Jax talking again.
Who? Huh? Who cares? Since we are in the season of giving and the season of being thankful.
I'm sorry. I have Raw on, and they just did a Nia Jax promo, and they pan the crowd, and somebody has a T-shirt that says, "I just pooped today." That's the highlight of Raw. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
That's pretty sad. We've gone this low for that. Anyways, thank you to all the our listeners every week, Jimmy, who continue to subscribe and, you know, tune in to hear just two regular fans talk shop and give you some insight from whatever we may have.
You're welcome, Mike. You're welcome.
Hey, listen, had a lot of fun doing this.
Had past tense? Does that mean you're out?
I've had.
Does that mean I can replace you?
You can try, but it ain't gonna happen, buddy.
We'll see about that.
Hey, the kid's under contract. I'm here for a while. So that's what I gotta say. Thank you to everybody. You guys are the best.
Yeah, we do have a very appreciative and passionate fan base, so we appreciate that. I think that's gonna wrap it up for us, right, Mike?
That's your ball game, and for that reason, I'll have you add on to it too, but we'll give him a Sarge and Stewie salute.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.